Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we want to exalt Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the reason we are here today. We want our hearts to be set ablaze in a fire for you, that you would pour into us your Holy Spirit, that you would renew our faith and our desire. I pray, Father, that your word would penetrate us and, Lord, convict us where we need to change. Where you need to correct us, I ask you, Lord, to take a hold and correct us. Discipline us. Please help us, Lord, today. I pray, Father, that this spiritual gift that we talk about today, the gift of service, Lord, would so impress us that we would see our need or ourselves being the servants that you want us to be, not just every day go through the motions, but really, truly give ourselves, sell out for you, Lord. Help us today. Change us as you see fit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so as many of you know, Matt mentioned earlier, we're in the middle of a preaching sermon on spiritual gifts, discovering your spiritual gifts. A few Sundays ago, I emphasized the fact that each of us are blessed with spiritual gifts that God wants to use for his purpose and for his glory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:7, he said, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Now, each of us, that includes everybody in this room, right? Now, do you recall the illustration that I used I think it was the 10th? You guys recall the illustration I used? I don't know if you remember this or not, but I said, how would you feel if after 180 days of kindergarten that your child could not say the ABCs, couldn't count to 10, and didn't know their basic colors? I think we can all agree that we would be very upset at this lost opportunity, that the kids were not taught or they didn't pay attention well enough to learn. In either case, it would slow the advancement of their education and it would stunt their growth as students. Now, the same thing can happen here in the church. God gave the church gifts. He gave us, the people of the church, spiritual gifts to build up the church. That is, he gave people who are designed to do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, he said this, and I mentioned this several weeks ago as well. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Those are the gifts that God's gave the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, leave this verse up here. I want you to study this verse really hard, and I want you to identify yourself. Where are you in this verse? Well, I know where I am. I'm the pastor and teacher. Okay? And you guys are God's people, right? And if I read this correctly, I'm not a theologian or a scholar, but it says that Mel is God's gift to the church. Isn't that what it says? What? That wasn't funny? Jeez. I got more laughter over that thing about the... Anyway. I have the responsibility to equip you. It is my responsibility to equip those that God has put, you know, in this building, in this church. Now, I promise to do my very best to please God in equipping you. Question is, will you, in return, do your very best in serving? I certainly hope so. And I hope this message and these messages about the spiritual gifts motivate you to use your gifts that God has given you, to advance the kingdom of God, to grow and build the church, not to mention your own spiritual growth. Your own spiritual growth depends upon you using the gifts and talents that God has given you. Last week, the message was on the spiritual gift of faith. You guys remember that? Now, as you know, every person with a relationship with Jesus Christ has saving faith. But Paul refers to a spiritual gift of faith in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of evidence to discern the difference between these two gifts, of the gift of faith and the faith that saves us. But the spiritual gift of faith is exhibited by one with strong and unshakable confidence in God, in his word, and his promises. And to find names of people in the Bible who have such great faith, unshakable faith in him and his promises, go look to Hebrews chapter 11. This is what it says in chapter 11 about those giants of the faith, the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But these, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. Now, these stories of great faith in Hebrews are truly amazing. If you go and study it, and then go back to the Old Testament and read the full account of their stories, it is truly amazing what their great faith enabled them to do and how God could use them. But when I thought about what it means to have great faith in the context of this message, the person that I thought of was the unnamed widow. Listen to her story and imagine how her great faith would have inspired and encouraged the tender-hearted in the fellowship of this church. In Luke chapter 21, this is what Jesus said. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people drop their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Now, don't you agree that this poor widow had great faith? Now, I hope her faith and her great faith does not put you to shame, but to motivate you, just like I would pray that it would motivate the people in her day. The purpose of our spiritual gifts, the gift of faith in particular, is to edify and build up and encourage others. And this gift of faith is an important gift. But just as the gift of faith is an important gift, so is the gift of service. The gift of service is similar to the gift of faith in that just as we all have saving faith and yet some are given greater faith, just as in the gift of faith, the gift of service is a unique gift that's given and it's different than the overall responsibility that everyone in this room has, every calling we all have to serve. You know, Jesus is our primary example in regard to service. He said, I have come to serve, not to be served. James said that we demonstrate our faith in Christ by service. He said, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And Paul said, now that we are free from the law, we are free from the bondage of following every letter of the law and being obedient to a T, now that we've been released from this, he says, now that we've been freed from the law, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh to do whatever you want to satisfy yourself, but through love, serve one another. We have been freed to love and serve each other. But again, this is distinct and different from the gift of faith that Paul refers to in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 7, the first part, Paul says, if your gift is serving, then serve them well. And here he uses a Greek word, which is diakonia. The basic meaning of this word is to wait on tables, but it's most often translated in the Bible as ministry. It refers to any act of service done in genuine love for the edification of the community. And it's demonstrated by loving acts of service, meeting practical needs and the material needs of other people. And this word is also used for the biblical office of deacon. So what is the purpose of this gift of service? The purpose of this gift and its importance is particularly seen in Acts chapter 6. When the church was busting at the seams, when the kingdom of heaven was growing and many people were coming to Christ, many people were coming with their needs. And there became quite a problem. The apostles were getting bogged down in meeting the daily needs, the daily distribution of food to widows and so on. And there arose a great complaint. Now, as this dispute broke out, this is how the apostles handled it in Acts chapter 6. So the 12, that is the apostles, they called a meeting of all the believers together. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. The spiritual gift of service, or the biblical office of deacon, was given by God so that the leaders could devote themselves to prayer and teaching the word, that is, to disciple all these brand new people coming into the church. You remember what Jesus said when he said to go out, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's part of it, right? Bringing people into the kingdom, bringing people into the church. The last part of Jesus said, and, can't forget the and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given. And be sure of this, I am with you to the end of the age. So here it is, the apostles. The church is growing. People are coming to faith in Christ. They're getting baptized into Christ. And what are they doing? They're bogged down meeting the daily distribution of needs for these widows. And they're saying, we don't have time for prayer anymore. We don't have time to disciple these people. We are not being obedient and faithful to Jesus Christ to teach them all that Christ commanded. What is the solution? The solution was for the church to select and raise up godly men. In this case, godly men. In our case, in our day, godly men and women to serve, to fill in the gaps that the leaders in the church can devote themselves to prayer, ministry of the word. Now, this is just one example in Scripture. We could find probably dozens of examples in Scripture on how the gift of service has enabled others to fully utilize their gift. Now, if you just think about in our modern day, you know, you've got a doctor, let's say a brain surgeon, he's highly skilled, knows his stuff back and forth, 20 years of experience, and yet he, just like everybody else, has a limited amount of time on this earth, a limited amount of time in the hospital to work every day. And when he walks into a room, he's got dozens of people doing what? Preparing everything. So he walks in there, he does his part, he walks out and trusts that everybody else has got everything else taken care of. Andrea knows about this firsthand. She's had her brain operated on. I don't know if you knew that or not. And she's still married to me, so obviously it didn't work. Anyway, just kidding, honey. Hopefully she's not yelling at me. Okay. So bottom line is, you know, whether it's a brain surgeon who needs these people surrounding him to make him efficient and effective with the use of his time, his talent, and his skills, or whether it's the leaders in the church or maybe some other person, you with the gift of service, because many of you have the gift of service. Many of you have been given this gift, and it's dormant because you choose not to use it. And I'm hoping today that you are going to be motivated to make a change in that regard. Listen, the importance and the impact of the gift of service is one where there is little glory, not that it's sought after, but there's usually little glory, but there are far-reaching impacts. And the fact of the matter is, when you are using your gifts and talents and the gift of service in particular, if that's how God has gifted you and wired you, you may not see it, you may not realize it, but you may be impacting the very destiny and soul of another human being. And I have permission in this case to use my wife, so I'm going to. I think it's the first time I've ever gotten permission before I used your name, so I got a lot of leeway here, okay? It may have been like maybe 6 weeks ago. I don't remember how long ago it was. But Andrea was very frustrated. She felt like, you know, she's very busy and overwhelmed. She does a lot of work at our home church, Smizer. She's been doing, very involved in the CIY program, gets a lot of things organized for the teachers. They put packets together. This is a monumental task of organizing everything for their CIY trip. They take anywhere from, you know, 20 adults and 50 to 70 or 80 kids. So getting it all organized, this has been her ministry of serving the youth minister and the other adult sponsors to go there, because when you're an adult sponsor, you show up and you got your packet, you got all the information for every day, you never have to search for anything, everything's exactly where it's supposed to be. Anyway, she felt a little discouraged, you know, like maybe it wasn't appreciated and that sort of thing. And I remember thinking almost immediately that all of her work freeing up the youth minister so she can spend her time ministering to these kids, making disciples, praying. I thought, whenever you are bogged down in service, and by the way, when I get more into this, it's going to be more relative, but when you are bogged down in service, you feel like it's not making a difference. The fact of the matter is, you know, you can't see how you are freeing someone else up to minister to other people. You might be giving someone the time they need to spend an extra 15 minutes with a kid to really get, you know, dig in and say, you know, I have time for you. One of the biggest things that we can do as a gift of service is give someone else time and availability that we didn't have otherwise. And so I encourage her with that. She obviously went to CIY, finished the task, and it was a really good year for them as well. Now, I know for a fact, because as I was sitting here thinking about Andrea, and I think, if she tells me no, I got to come up with somebody else. And then I many of your names came to my mind. Acts of service, things you guys do behind the scenes, nobody knows about. And yet, what you are doing makes a big difference. And I decided I want to live another day, so I'm not mentioning names. But some of the common characteristics. I found this, if you go online and you do a Google search for like spiritual gifts, you're going to find tons of information, all kinds of web pages and all kinds of organizations that put together nice lists of spiritual gifts. You're going to find several where you can take a spiritual gift assessment like the one Matt's got printed out here on the Welcome Center. You know, you can discover your spiritual gifts, but these websites in particular, they just kind of bullet point the biography or the demographics of a particular person, this gift. And in this one website, they talk about the common characteristics. They talk about strengths and weaknesses, and I want to share some of those. Because while you may not go out to this website and look at that, if you have got the spiritual gift of service, you are going to hear yourself in this. And by the way, if your spouse or somebody you know fits this, then you can say, hey, just elbow them, you know, sharpen it up, elbow them and say, hey, you're one. You've got this gift. You need to be using it. All right, so here's some of the characteristics that are common. Those with the spiritual gift of service do not seek recognition or the spotlight. They just love to help out. They're content with serving in the background. And they are motivated to meet practical needs. And they are diligent and willing to sacrifice time and energy to complete a task. Although they prefer short-term tasks that can be wrapped up and completed all at once. And they would rather do it themselves than delegate anything. Some of their strengths include that servers tend to be one-man armies. They really go at it. God seems to give them special grace to serve with humility and to exercise humility. Doesn't matter how menial the task is, they're willing to pitch in and help. The availability of the server's strongest character, availability is one of the server's strongest character qualities. He almost, or she almost never says no. And the server has a God-given ability to do physical tasks, so get out of the way of somebody who's got the gift of service. They are going to go at it. Some of the weaknesses for those with the gift of service is a temptation to be overcommitted. I know many people like that. If a server feels unappreciated, they can quickly become bitter or resentful. They're poor delegators, and sometimes they're poor coworkers. Because they are perfectionists. They want it done exactly the way they want it done, and that's it. There's no debate. Servers tend to be demanding of others who are supposed to be helping, but aren't. And as I mentioned before, they tend to be perfectionists, so they can drive the rest of us crazy. Someone say amen. Okay. That wasn't enough amens there. Come on. Good night. Don't you know some people? All right. Here's the thing that really should impact you, I believe. Because when you get into the fact of the matter is there are many, there's a crossover between secular vocational gifts and talents and then spiritual gifts and talents. For example, the gift of teaching. Okay, where would we be, you know, in our country, in our world, if we didn't have teachers? Who went to school, went to college, learned the skill and the craft of teaching kids or teaching adults. The reality is that vocation, secular, etc., is an important it's an important skill. And it's maybe a natural talent. You're born with the ability to relate and teach kids, etc. Okay? Well, the fact of the matter is, there is a spiritual gift of teaching. Now, these may or may not be the exact same. You may be gifted in teaching vocationally and have no clue within the context of the church. Depends upon the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But whether it's teaching, okay, whether it's sewing, which we're going to talk about, whether it's maybe coaching, it might be cooking, it might be cleaning, might be organizing, you know, whatever your secular or let's call it a worldly gift and talent that or natural disposition that God has given you, here's the thing. God can take your natural talents and transition them, convert them into spiritual talents and spiritual gifts. Almost any natural talent can become a gift of ministering. Okay? God, by His Holy Spirit, adds to our talent a deep concern for others. This is where it gets changed. The result is a gift of ministering. Just as a talent is not enough, we must surrender the talent, the gifts that we have, and devote that talent to God. When we give Him freedom to use our talents, to use our gifts, He turns them into gifts of ministering. Like, for example, a person with a talent for singing. For the most part, unless somebody tried to convince me otherwise, I believe it's inherited. My niece is over there, sorry. I know I shouldn't be mentioning her because I don't want to point her. Would you guys say hi to Brittany? Hi, Brittany. Okay. And her husband, Caleb. Caleb, hi, Caleb. I'm sorry. I hope they come back. Anyway, I was just mentioning, if my singing offends you, I'm sorry, but I have no talent for it. And John told me just to shut up. He did, I swear, or something like that. Okay, anyway, I do not have the gift of singing, but yet some of you do. And when I think about, there are many people with this, I would call it the spiritual gift of singing and making music, and it's a gift of ministry. And yet, oftentimes, they get drawn away from using their gifts and talents for the glory of God. But they could be used for God. I think of people like Elvis Presley, you know. He did a lot of gospel music, but he had a lot of secular stuff as well. Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, Amy Grant, some others, they've kind of a crossover between using your gifts and talents for the glory of Christ in the church and allowing those gifts and talents to be, in some case, squandered or misused and not used for ministry. A person who sows. Now, sowing is not a spiritual gift. It's a talent as well. And by the way, I can't sew either. In the book of Acts, we read about a woman named Dorcas. Listen to this testimony. This woman named Dorcas, who likely had this natural talent for sewing, but God used it as a ministering gift. In Acts chapter 9, it says this. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. Now, after she died, the believers there called Peter to pray for her. So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him up to an upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing the coats and other clothes that Dorcas had made for them. Now, imagine her crown and her glory in heaven one day. Maybe she'll receive again one of those coats or one of those pieces of clothing that she made. But that gift of ministry and just being able to sow, devoted and given to God, really made a tremendous impact on these widows and on these people who were crying out. And of course, the rest of the story, if you go read in Acts chapter 9, is Peter prayed for her and raised her from the dead. Now, I want to close with this commentary from Matthew Henry. He's a famous theologian. His commentary on Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Listen to this. Pride is a sin in us by nature. We need to be cautioned and warned against it. All the saints make up one body in Christ, who is the head of the body, the common, the center of our unity. In the spiritual body, some are fitted for and called for one sort of work, others for another sort of work. We are to do all we can one for another for the common benefit. If we duly thought about the powers that we have and how far we fail properly to improve them, it would humble us. In other words, if we really understand the gifts and talents that we had and truly realized the extent to which God could use them and we didn't use them, how humble that would make us. But as we must not be proud of our talents, so we must take heed lest under pretense of humility or self-denial, we are slothful in laying out ourselves for the good of others. We must not say, I am nothing, therefore I will sit still and do nothing. But I am nothing in myself, and therefore I will lay myself out to the utmost in the strength and grace of Christ. Now, whatever our gifts or situation may be, let us try to employ them ourselves humbly, diligently, cheerfully, and in simplicity, not seeking our own credit or profit, but for the good of many, for the world and that which is to come. End quote. He says we are to do all the good we can. And so the question is for you, are you doing all the good you can? I'm serious. Are you laying it all out? Are you leaving anything on the table? You're like, well, I'll kind of phone it in today. Or are you really sincerely, day in, day out, giving everything that you have for the good of all, for the good of your family, for the good of the church, good of this community? That's the question. Now, if God gave you the spiritual gift of service, for example, and you refuse to use it, think about that. How humbling and shameful that is, that if God himself equipped you with some gift or talent that he expects you to use in the context of the church, the context of the fellowship, and you don't use it, what a shame that is. And one day, we're all going to realize, we're going to be held accountable for this. Hey, I gave you gifts and talents. I don't know if Matt spoke on this, about the gifts and the talents, right? Matt spoke on this a few weeks ago. You were given 5 talents. What'd you do with them? I made 5 more. You're given 2 talents. What'd you do? In this case, it was gold, made 2 more. You're given 1 talent. Maybe someone in this room has just 1 talent. Are you burying it? That's the point that Matthew Henry is making here. We are to do all we can for his glory. So, God does not want us to sit on our hands. He wants to use our gifts and talents for his glory. And the question for you is, are you doing the best you can? You know what? If you're not doing the best you can, take a step, make a commitment. Tomorrow, it's going to be a little better. And for those of you who are wondering, listen, we are not a relief agency like the Red Cross. We are not recruiting. There's not a little volunteer card in front of you. Say, I sign up for Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. I'm going to be here to do this service. We're not a volunteer agency. We're not a secular agency. We serve for the glory of Jesus Christ. No one is going to say, sign this card, and I'm going to call you, and I want you to show up. You have to be willing to put yourself out there. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was talking to a young lady who is basically saying, I don't really like going to this church, not this church, but another church. I don't feel connected. I don't feel like, God's moving, blah, blah, blah. And so as I'm listening to this whole story, I'm thinking, wait a minute. You're not attending regularly. You're not going to any small group or not into the discipleship group. The people there don't know you whatsoever. Why don't you get plugged in? Find a place where you can serve. Find a place where you can get connected to other people and build relationships. Because when you aren't there on Sunday, no one misses you because no one knows you. You're not using your gifts and talents the way God wants you to use them. And that's a big part of what's happening in the church is no one is committed to building relationships, getting established, using their gifts and talents for his glory. Now, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you. But here's the thing. While we're not a volunteer agency and no one's going to reach out to you and say, hey, I want you to sign up, it's up to you to reach out and say, I'm available. Now, this is what I told her. I said, I have a teeny bit of authority over this person. I said, this is what you need to do. I said, you call that pastor tomorrow and you say, I want a meeting with you. I want to get plugged into a ministry and I want to get an opportunity to be in a small group, a discipleship group. Make that call. And by golly, She did. She made that call. And then she got plugged in. She called, and she got, they have some kind of thing on Sunday nights where they have new members come in, figure out how to get plugged in, ministries and so on. And she attended the first time. And prayerfully, she'll attend tonight. I haven't had a chance to text her and tell her, to remind her, you know, with a little teeny bit of authority I have to pressure her. Anyway, the bottom line is, you know what? Here she's feeling lost. She's not feeling connected to the church. And whose fault is it? It's not the minister who doesn't know her name, because he's got hundreds of people to know. It's her fault for not putting herself out there and saying, I want to get plugged in. I want to serve. I want to be in a small group. It's not the minister's fault. Now, my job is to equip and to teach and motivate and encourage you. And I prayerfully, by the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God, I'm doing the best I can now. How are you going to respond? I can't make that choice for you. Pray with me. Father, we are so in awe of you. We are so in awe of the gifts and the gifts and the talents in this room. It would overwhelm us if they were on a list, if they may fill a book. God, I thank you, Lord, not only for the gifts and the talents, for the acts of service and love and the way everyone in this room at one season or another in their life have used them for your glory. And Lord, I pray that you would inspire us and motivate us. Maybe there's one or two or more where our gifts are dormant. We've not used them. We've not put ourselves out there. I pray, Father, that you would inflame inside of them a desire to get plugged in, to get involved. We need more people serving. I know that, Lord. You know that. Father, there may be one or two in here or more who just simply do not know you. Lord, I know that you have called them to know you before you call them to serve you. I pray that every person hearing my voice would believe that and understand it. We are to know you, to love you, and then to serve you out of our love, not because of some obedience, not because someone told me to, not because I sign a card, but because I love you. Lord, please help everyone in here to believe and understand that. Change our hearts and our attitudes when it comes to using our gifts and talents and service that we might bring you glory and honor. Thank you, Father, for your word, for the truth. Press it, push it, grow it, and develop some fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.